Welcome to the Experience Points Podcast, episode 119 for the week of February 2nd, 2011.
Points Podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
I am George Albor.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a website created and dedicated to the serious but not humorless analysis of video games and culture. Not always current video games, George. Not always.
No.
Sometimes no. Vintage, I would say.
Yeah, you know, we like to bring out a nice, strong, aged brew. You know, it matures on our shelf.
Isn't it weird that we can call something from 2008 vintage?
Yeah, but it can feel that way, so.
Were this game a wine, it would probably not smell too good, because we're going to talk about Dead Space today.
Which, as I recall, you played a while ago, right? 2009?
Yeah, I guess I probably played it maybe, I don't know, 6 months or so after it came out, I guess.
I was the lazy bastard who took so long to get around to it.
Well, you spurred on by a sequel, right?
I was, and the sequel looked great. A lot of people have been talking good things about it, and I asked around, should I play the first Dead Space before playing the second Dead Space? And the general consensus was, yes, indeed, I need to play the first Dead Space. There's some pivotal story elements I must understand. The game is so good, and et cetera, et cetera.
So here we are. I guess we'll just start with we'll start at the very vaguest, most general portion, and then kind of drill in. And also, I mean, like we always do, we'll spend at least half of the podcast, maybe about 15 minutes or so, doing non-thematic spoilers, so non-plot point spoilers, and then towards the end, we'll warn everyone. But there are certain plot points that we're going to have to talk about.
That's right. Mechanical spoilers ahead.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, after all the hype, what do you think about it?
To be honest, I wasn't that impressed.
Mm.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe, I don't know. I don't know why. A lot of people told me, you know, I should play the first one, that it's pivotal to the second. And I really didn't see that to be the case.
Mm.
Well, here, let's talk a bit about some of the things that I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
Right. The armor and the interface.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have declared it to be amazing, and I'm completely with them. I love the fact that Isaac has his health bar in his back. He's got a clear distinction as he levels up, or rather, he has a clear distinction as he's improving his armor, that it's getting better.
Yeah, there's an actual physical improvement to it.
Yeah, and the interface is really neat because it comes jutted out in like a hologram that if you're holding the camera at the right angle, you can't actually see or understand.
Yeah.
All that stuff. Fantastic.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's funny talking about this game now because we got to put ourselves in the mindset of 2008. And I think this game inspired lots of subsequent games similarly. Mm-hmm. And it was, I had that same exact reaction that you had when I was looking at my map and just kind of lazily flicking around the right stick. And all of a sudden I realized that I'm looking at the map backwards now. Like, I have to get with it.
Yeah. I almost never used the map. I was mostly using the interface for like item selection. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like having that sort of diegetic approach felt really great. And when it first popped up, I was just slightly amazed.
Yeah.
And even the ability he uses, which it's a little cheesy and I have some problems with it. We can talk about later. But the ability to press down on the right thumbstick and see the sort of path that you need to go lined on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
That was also really cool.
Yeah, and it's a nice clean effect, too. I mean, it fits in with the sci-fi, scenery that it takes place in.
The one thing I was surprised about, because that they seemed to emphasize this approach so much, is the fact that he kept pulling the guns off camera.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you ever just kept Isaac still while you grabbed different guns, but it's hilariously comical. He just sets, you know, he moves his hand off screen and pulls out the biggest gun you've ever seen. Just gigantic, with so many moving parts. And it's like, where the hell did you get that?
It's like the first person shooter problem where you're carrying a small arsenal on your back, but you can only see the hand.
It's just I can't help but feel kind of strange because Mass Effect 2 has all of the weapons that Shepard uses on her back the entire game. And there's only four weapons you can ever have at one time in Dead Space.
But they're so weird. I mean, I mean, some of them are huge, like you were saying. And so it'd be hard to... I think it would be hard to for them to figure out what characters were going to use which guns, and so they just start clipping all together and stuff like that. That's funny, though. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, that's true. As for actually killing the Necromorphs, you know, the big thing that they emphasized in this game is dismemberment. You can't just shoot at them anymore. You're going to have to chop off all the little arms and pieces. What did you think about that approach?
Well, I have a feeling I probably enjoyed the game more than you did, just from your initial reactions. But I found, especially the dismemberment thing, I mean, cheesy and you know, hyped to the extreme that it was in the marketing material, that it solved the problem that a lot of games run up against. And this is a problem that I first heard Jeff Gerstmann on Giant Bomb articulate, that he said that headshots are ruining games because now all people do, like all you do in every single game is just aim for the head, aim for the head, aim for the head, you know, one shot kill. It makes a lot of games feel very similar to each other. And because it wasn't the case in Dead Space, it was kind of a palate cleanser, really. I mean,
I also really enjoyed that. After a while, it got a little bit old for me.
It definitely is cumbersome if you are fighting strong enemies.
Yeah, and the cumbersome thing is an issue, and this kind of brings up my problem with the sort of guns and ammunition system. Out of curiosity, what were the four guns, or what were the guns that you most commonly used?
Oh, geez. One,
if you recall.
Yeah, one was, and you know, it's funny because all these are like quasi-mining equipment, which I thought was a neat little touch to just kind of, you know, flesh out the story a bit more. But one was the just the standard like rivet slash nail gun. It functions as your pistol, basically.
Right.
I used the buzzsaw that has like kind of like a chain or whatever.
Yeah.
I used the gun that has it fires like a huge spread. It's kind of like a staple or something.
Yeah, that's called the line gun.
The line gun, exactly.
Yeah.
And then I kind of had a rotating slot. Sometimes I'd put the traditional assault rifle in there. Sometimes I would put, you know, one of the other like projectile based guns. I just kind of mixed that one up a little.
Did you enjoy all of them equally?
I think once I figured out how to use them, like for the longest time, I didn't really get the saw. And then once I figured out that, you know, you could either shoot from, you can launch a buzz saw to eject it, or you have to get up pretty close and then you have to manually kind of saw at guys rather than just automatically doing something for you.
Yeah.
Once I keyed into that, that became one of my favorite guns.
That was a great one for keeping them at a distance, because you could just clog them at a doorway and just keep the saw going for a while.
Yeah, especially if you're not, you know, facing anything with any kind of projectiles, you can, you know, you don't have to worry about them getting too close because the saw will take care of it. There's a certain radius that it'll function within. I would have used the line gun more, except I was always low on ammo for that one, so I saved it for like the most dire situations.
So that's one of my big problems, right? Is I really enjoyed using the line gun.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't particularly enjoy using the saw blade. I didn't think it was very fun to be sort of chopping them up at that distance. You know, once they piled up, it was kind of bland. And then when it wasn't bland, it was just far too difficult. The saw gun was not useful in heavily packed situations or in open rooms, for example.
You got to be pretty precise, because it's only like it's only the saw. Like, it's not a sweeping area of effect thing. Like, you have to get the blades to touch.
And the saw extends out maybe like 4 feet from the gun, depending on how you're aiming it. Mm-hmm. And if a necromorph gets between the saw and you, it doesn't matter. The blade will continue spinning past
exactly
the opponent, which was really bothersome to me.
It's so sharp, it just cuts right through them. And so you're thinking that, oh, this will be great, and then all of a sudden they're still charging at you.
Yeah, which meant a lot of times I was just aiming it at the floor. It was useless, essentially, against the little, I don't know, they're like baby dogs with the three tentacles.
Oh, yeah. Oh, jeez, those things are the worst.
Yeah, they're terrible. And so I really enjoyed the line gun, and I enjoyed the main gun so-so. It was all right. The line gun quickly outsurpassed it. Mm-hmm. And then the last gun I was using was the sort of large laser beam. Mm-hmm. And the laser beam has two modes, one in which you can hold down the trigger and fire a large, high-damage blast, which was mostly useless because things would come at you so fast that you just wouldn't have the time to charge it up. It only became useful when essentially I ran out of ammunition for the line gun or the main gun. Mm-hmm. And the ammunition in the game is such that when you find it, they'll usually be for all of your one of the weapons you have, but almost never for the weapon I want. You know, at one point I was seriously contemplating selling all of my guns except for the line gun.
Yeah. To see if that would game the system to give you more ammo.
Yeah, I mean, because it was clearly doing that, right? Once I had the Ripper, I seldom got pulse rounds, for example. Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like this is something that people were debating about at the time, which was, is this a survival horror game in the same way that the Resident Evil series or the Silent Hill series was? Because, you know, those very early examples of the genre were all about scarcity and all about, you know, very selective fighting rather than something like Gears of War or even Resident Evil 4 really changed that. And I feel like you ran up against that with the scarcity problem.
Yeah, that's a good way to frame it. I hadn't thought of it in that way. But yeah, I think it runs a weird line between the two. And you could buy ammo. It's ridiculously expensive, but you could buy it. And oftentimes I did buy it.
It might cost you upgrades and stuff, too. You know, there's definitely, you know, maybe if you're very good at the game, but I really don't get the sense that you can max out everything or even get very close to maxing out everything your first time through.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, that's another problem I had with the upgrade system. It kind of teased you and showed you, look at all of these different things you could do, but don't even bother thinking about it. It's kind of ridiculous to even imagine having enough power nodes to upgrade even one weapon to complete capacity. Mm-hmm. Especially when you really should be upgrading multiple weapons, because as we said, you're going to run out of ammo for that gun that you like so much. You know?
And it's very tempting to buy a power node at the store rather than to find one.
and I did. I bought maybe like half of the power nodes I used, I bought from the store.
Those are super expensive too.
Yeah, and there were times, again, maybe this is my fault, but there were times when I really wanted to buy the ammo because I had more fun playing with that gun. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I figured, well, you know, I'm just going to buy a power node, upgrade that gun, and then hopefully I'll find more ammo for that gun along the way. And if not, I'll just use the Ripper or the main gun. Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, I mean, I feel like it's one of those. Dead Space was one of those games, kind of like the first Bioshock, actually, where I realized towards the end of the game that I had started ignoring certain systems that I probably shouldn't have been ignoring. I mean, did you use stasis a lot during battle?
I did once when I had the line gun. The line gun lets you drop mines, and it's incredibly fun to freeze someone, drop a mine, and then just run away as it tears them to shreds. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I used the stasis a lot, especially in the end game, but only when I had the ammo for the line gun, which meant pretty rarely because it was so low. I would only use it for special occasions.
Hmm. Well, I mean, that was one of the reasons why. Once I remembered that I should be using this, and you know, the stasis is basically like a freezing or a bullet time style ability. That, yeah, it's, you know, it's all very, I don't know. I heard some rumors that this game was originally conceived as a System Shock game.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know how true those rumors are or not, but I could definitely see it if they are true, because you know, there's telekinetic abilities. There's you know, upgrade systems, branching paths, and things like that. That really, and also, you know, it's set on a creepy spaceship, and there's lots of audio logs and so forth. Like, it's very, you know, it's very Shock-esque. But I mean, once I realized that, you know, I should be using this freezing ability, that's when I knew I should hold on to the pistol and hold on to the saw, because you can just take your time. You know, I switched over to the pistol once they're frozen, and then with maybe three or four shots, it only took me three or four bullets, so it wasn't a big cost, and yet I could take down one of the bigger monsters.
But even the stasis module runs out of ammo very quickly.
Yeah, but I mean, those upgrades tend to be free throughout the, I mean, throughout the level, you can refill your stasis.
You That's know, true, like, but
it's
if
like
you
a
want...
gas station or whatever.
But if you want to invest in longer durations for the stasis, you have to pay pretty hefty amounts of power nodes.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and if you're going to use weapons that rely on stasis, it's a good investment, but it's a decision you kind of have to make early, or else you'll find yourself having to use different sorts of weapons, I suppose.
I suppose one of my issues was that I really actually did enjoy playing the game itself, and maybe I wanted it to be more of that have enough ammo to have fun with the mechanics.
Mm. Did you use the telekinetic ability very much?
You mean picking things up and throwing it at people?
Yeah.
No, almost never.
That's another thing that saves you a lot of ammo and can save you in certain battles, too, that I didn't really... You know, I started ignoring it after a while. Then I realized I was ignoring it and started messing with it again. Because you can throw body parts and debris from the level at things.
But, like, I threw a cabinet at this guy once, and it just seemed to just bounce off him, and so I basically settled on the fact that it wasn't effective.
Mm. I would use it for defensive purposes sometimes, just to knock them back a little bit, and get myself another moment or two to set up the shot. Since every bullet counted, I wanted to make sure I had plenty of time to aim and, you know, switch as to, you know, my stance, you know, if you're holding your gun sideways or, you know, vertically or horizontally aiming it or whatever.
I'm surprised you found the time to use that, because I feel like the game is so good at the scares, right? It actually is a pretty frightening game.
Yeah, I thought so
they'll
too.
They'll have the necromorphs sort of just appear. The worst is when you're shopping, and then all of a sudden there's a monster right next to you as you come out. Those types of events happened fairly regularly, right? Mm. You'd see a monster, and then before you know it, there's another one behind you.
Yeah.
So it never felt like there was enough time to use the sort of blasting mechanic.
Well, I mean, there might be a playstyle difference, because I took it fairly slow. Like, I very rarely ran anywhere in the game. And if I was running, it was to a defensive position where I knew there was going to be nothing behind me. And so, you know, I think if there were certain times where I thought I could get the jump on something, and then I realized that I had run by, you know, one of the grating sections or one of the fans, and I knew there would be a thing jumping behind me.
Yeah.
And of course there was, because that's how they always do it. But I mean, maybe that's where, you know, maybe that's where we kind of diverged a little bit. Did you try to play it a little bit fast paced?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I was trying to get through it to move on.
Some of those corridors are pretty long.
Yeah, and I think this brings us to the topic of the atmosphere, which I heard was lauded when the game first came out, and it was generally received as very kind of creepy. The music of Dead Space, absolutely fantastic, and definitely sets the mood for that environment. The level design itself and the design of the ship got incredibly tedious after a while. The entire ship is experienced through a train system, very similar to Bioshock 2.
Yeah, I was thinking about that while playing Bioshock 2. I was thinking that it felt very much like Dead Space.
There are, what, maybe 10 chapters, and in between each chapter, Isaac enters the train again.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 5 out of those different maps are very similar.
Mm.
Like, the halls are just incredibly repetitive. It never felt like there was that much of a difference between some of the areas and others. The best example would be Isaac enters a hydroponics facility at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And I was remembering entering the hydroponics facility in Bioshock 2?
Maybe, I mean...
Or maybe it's Bioshock... Maybe I'm confusing it with Minerva's Den. There's the trees in Bioshock 2, right?
Yeah, well, and even in Bioshock 1, there's the... gosh, I forget what it's called. It's like the forest/garden level.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
The point being, the hydroponics facility did not feel particularly lush, verdant, or alive.
Mm.
It felt just dry and cold like the rest of the spaceship.
Yeah.
In Bioshock, it felt like a whole new world. You know, it felt very new and very fresh. And I'm not saying there has to be vines everywhere, but, you know, I feel like if I'm moving from one place to another, especially when I'm entering one that's themed in that way, hydroponics, this is an opportunity to really wow me with interesting level design and interesting art direction. Mm. And it just felt like the rest of the ship.
Huh. I mean, they definitely ran with the idea of being on a ship. Because
that's not new. I mean, we've all seen Starship Troopers.
Yeah, but I mean, in a video game, I feel like it's very tempting to have, oh, here's the ice level, here's the fire level, here's the mountain level.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
And so, I mean, I think it's a departure. I mean, even if it gets dull after a while, it's a departure to just make everything look like the one big, huge corporate standardized ship that it was in the story.
Quick spoiler alert for the game, so I can mention something. When the ship Valor crashes into the Ishimura and you enter the Valor, it's equally bland. It's the exact same construction.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's just, I mean, it's not very, there's not a lot of variety, but I got the sense from, you know, I got the sense of what the reality was in the game world. Like, these are all mass-produced things. Everyone's bored. Everyone's out in space. It kind of felt like the original Alien.
Yeah, definitely. I read this great article about hallways in science fiction, and this would fit really well into that.
I mean, and, you know, I watched a lot of Star Trek, and it's all about hallways. Like, they all look the same. There's episodes on Star Trek where the ship gets, you know, messed up or temporal shifts happen and they get confused for a second because everything looks so similar. They should be, you know, on another floor, but they don't know because every single door looks the same. And like, that's just sci-fi, you know?
That's kind of why I think the necromorph idea, the idea of this sort of fleshy zombie-like entity taking over the ship, could have been better used environmentally.
Mm.
You know, you could. There are some areas where you enter and the walls are lined with sort of fleshy mucus and it slows you down as you walk.
I thought the hydroponics was actually, maybe I'm misremembering which one the hydroponics was. I thought that was one where everything was kind of gross. Like, you even moved slowly because all, like, it was just kind of covered with organic material.
There are a few hallways where that happens. In general, they don't have the slowing you down. I think that people probably just got frustrated during playtesting with those environments.
Yeah,
They're few. Yeah, they're there, and they're spotty around the rest of the game as well, not just hydroponics.
You know, at the same time, though, what they do with, I liked what they did with certain different areas of the ship that either had sustained damage, so you could kind of see out into space while, and it was zero gravity, so you had to, you know, walk up along the walls, kind of like a 2001 style thing.
Oh, the zero gravity in this game was absolutely amazing. I loved it. The first time I entered zero gravity and moved around, I was just, wow, I was stunned. I thought it was fantastic.
And it's quiet, too. Like, they kind of deaden the noise to make it feel like you're in a helmet, you know, rather than, you know, just a normal atmosphere.
Yeah, and especially when you're running out of oxygen and you see the little thing ticking down.
And he's choking.
And there's a boss battle at one point in zero gravity on a sphere. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed that boss battle, despite the fact that I was doing it wrong for like 20 minutes. It was still really cool.
Yeah, I want to talk about the bosses. There was one other environment, the bridge of the ship, where there was it was a pretty large room and there was a bunch of kind of holographic projections around it. I thought the bridge was pretty neat.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
We should go back to the bosses, because I thought the bosses were just pretty terrible.
Yeah, other than the first one, that I think it was one of the first bosses in the zero gravity thing. Mm-hmm. I had a good time with that, just because it was fun in zero gravity, but the rest of them, yeah. Big yellow thing to shoot, and we'll call it a day.
Yeah, it's so strange, because the boss battles felt like something... The boss battles felt like something out of Contra or something. Like, they very, very set patterns, and they felt kind of long. Like, they overstayed their welcome a little bit. Like, I realized the pattern, and then I performed the pattern, and then I still had to do that for, you know, several more iterations of that pattern.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Which is weird, because I didn't feel like the minute-to-minute action of the game is not like that.
Yeah, definitely. It's like all the bosses had a round two, but the round two was just round one with like an extra yellow limb.
Yeah, it was very old school. It felt very gamey and not as not as emergent or dynamic as some of the other like necromorph battles, which is strange, especially the final boss. Plus I had to do the final boss a couple times because I was running really low on ammo at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I was saving all the explosive barrels like strategically.
Yeah.
There's an aspect that you experience when the tentacle grabs you in the ship that you also experience with the final boss, where he picks you up upside down,
mm-hmm.
and I'm pretty sure the controls are inverted.
Yeah, your aiming is all weird depending on what angle your body's at.
That was so hard, and it was kind of it was kind of cool because I was put into this moment like, oh god, oh god, oh god. All right, calm yourself down. You need to focus. Left is right. Right is left. All right, here we go. That was kind of fun. You know, once I died three times, that got really frustrating, but it was fun.
There were definitely some intense skill-based challenges there in some of the battles that I wasn't expecting very much. It's not that I disliked them. They were kind of shocking as opposed to your normal minute-to-minute, you know, saving some ammo, carefully shooting things. And then all of a sudden there's this really pattern-focused boss that, you know, tests your really old school playing abilities.
Yeah. Okay, well, shall we move on to the narrative, the story?
Yes. Spoilers be here.
Well, maybe we... Yeah, okay. Yeah, spoilers. All right. Spoiler territory. What did you think of the story?
I liked it. I mean, I thought it was a good sci-fi thing. There's... it's not like it's nothing... You know, it's a combination of a bunch of things that you are familiar with. You know, there's a weird obelisk, like in 2001. There's kind of a freaky alien infestation, like in Aliens.
Yeah.
There's Scientologists.
There's Scientologists, which was awesome. When I first read the, I think it's a text log, about the sort of crazy things they believe, I was just, I was in love. I thought that was fantastic.
It's very rare that such a mainstream game makes such a broad swipe at a religion like that, you know.
Yeah.
Or even a political philosophy, you know, other than BioShock or something. I thought it was pretty... I mean, it's pretty clear that they're making fun of Scientologists the whole time.
Yeah. To be fair, you could miss that log. I don't think it's completely clear in the dialogue that you hear.
Mm-hmm.
Only in the sort of extras that you find.
But... And there's also posters around, though, about... Altman, you know, Altman will save us and you know, things like that. I don't know. It's very, I thought it was really neat, especially in a game that I had no expectations. You know, I didn't think nor expect nor really desire that they did that.
Yeah. I know others have said this before in the past, but did you get really tiresome like I did of people telling you what to do?
This is where it kind of feels like a shock game again, like BioShock or something.
But BioShock at least had the big reveal of would you kindly, you know?
Mm.
I mean, in this game, it felt like every other level was a coincidence. Of like, oh no, the air's down in Containment Center 5. Or, oh no, we need a power cell to charge up the such and such. And, that Valor ship is crashing in. They do that, like... 8 times.
Oh yeah.
You know, and after a while, like as Isaac, I must be thinking, what the hell is going on? This is terrible. Why am I the one doing this?
I wasn't even supposed to be here today.
Yeah. That's exactly how I felt. Especially because no one else is apparently wearing armor or using weapons of any form.
Or they've already gotten eaten by the zombie things.
To be honest, it reminded me of Professor Layton and everyone being like, solve this puzzle for me.
Isaac, I have 10 matchsticks.
It got pretty ludicrous. I thought the game was going to be over at chapter 6 based upon the number of coincidences there were. And then it went on to like chapter 10 or 11.
Yeah, that it got pretty funny. I mean, like at a certain point, I just kind of started rolling with it because, you know, I started trying to figure out what would be the next ridiculous sci-fi twist that could be thrown in.
And the fact that Isaac doesn't have a voice in this game just made it even more comical, because I was able to fill in his responses to their like, oh, Isaac, we really need you to go to containment. Like, oh, fucking containment center. Yeah, yeah. More work.
All he does is grunt and kind of scream when there's...
Yeah, and just complain of like, I should just get him to shuttle out of here.
I was thinking about that. You know, we talked about the silent protagonists recently. And my understanding is that he is no longer silent in the second game.
Yeah, that's right.
But they, you know, they did a fair enough job, and especially in retrospect, they did a fair enough job explaining why he was quiet the whole time.
What was the excuse?
I mean, he was crazy. Like, he was hallucinating the whole time.
Oh, but so was everybody else, and they wouldn't shut up.
Well, I mean, they weren't really, they weren't hallucinating Nicole.
Yeah, but one of the people say that they're hallucinating her brother on multiple occasions.
Yeah, I mean,
I think, to be fair, like, you're hallucinating Nicole more, maybe, than they're seeing their brother. And it's probably more of a severe thing. But that made me even more frustrated that he wasn't speaking.
Well, plus, you know? I was writing that off as just, you know, oh, you know, they got infected. That's what happens. And I was lulled into thinking that Isaac was kind of a reliable narrator the whole time.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, why not? Like, I thought that this was going to be like a Save the Princess type thing, you know, like, you know, the old video game story where you have to go rescue your girlfriend from some zombie monster or something.
Man.
And then as things started getting kind of freaky around like chapter 6 or 7, I started realizing something was going on.
In chapter 1, when you're walking down a hallway and necromorphs are popping out like groundhogs in that Basham game at the carnival, you know, I think at that moment I realized she's probably dead. I would be shocked if anyone survived this.
Yeah. Well, and you had that scientist that was there. And I mean, you had like pockets of people. So I thought, well, maybe something could happen.
But that's precisely why I thought it was kind of ridiculous. The scientist, how the hell did he survive?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm barely getting by on, like, you know, 100 pounds of armor.
Mm-hmm.
And this dude in the lab coat is like, I'm fine.
Well, plus let's see. I forget how the colonel met his demise, or the general, whoever was your commanding officer. He lasted for a little while, but...
Oh, he was gored to death right in front of you.
Oh, that's right. It was that charging thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, he lasted for a while. He wasn't really doing much. He was just kind of sending you on errands. So I figured that if someone knew, like, if someone was at ground zero for the necromorph attack, they probably had, you know, they probably knew exactly how dangerous things were. You know, they should have been, they were locking themselves down rather than, you know, stomping around, chomping on a cigarette or chomping on a cigar, telling Isaac what to do. You know, they were taking it with a bit more gravity.
But correct me if I'm wrong, but Nicole is part of the medical staff. And you go to the medical facility, shit is not okay there. Things have not gone well. You know, that's where you bring the people who are infected first.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, that's what happened, apparently. I mean, of course, this is probably all going to be changed by Dead Space 2. But, I mean, you know, like, I thought it was neat that even that audio log was not reliable. Like, you never saw the end of that audio log when she was killing herself.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, I'm so used to in games just taking audio logs for granted. Like, I'll listen to the log from beginning to end, and that's all the information, and like selectively screening out some of that information, I thought was kind of nice. It kept me guessing a little bit.
True. Yeah, that's a nice touch. I mean, I think that the treacherous moment that the other female lead takes is kind of stupid.
Oh yeah. Yeah, what was her... You'll have to remind me, but what was her deal? Did she just want to, like, get rid of everything to cover up the evidence or something?
I don't know. She was, like, working for the government or something.
Because, I mean, the government was trying to, like, harness the power of the artifacts that they had found.
Yeah, but she said something about the artifact being a duplicate that they had created.
Yeah, because they found one of the artifacts on the planet, and then they were trying to figure out, you know, how to basically, like, recreate and then weaponize it. But then, again... It was also a symbol for the Unitologists, right? Like, it was their, I don't know, it was their god
holy symbol,
their idol. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, something like that. I don't know. Again, I didn't really have that much interest in the story.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, that's too bad, because I thought it was, did you like the very, very final twist at the end?
Oh, the Nicole coming out and attacking you?
Yeah.
Only insofar as it's a cool nod to that sort of, 70s, 60s horror, you know, where something would jump out at the very end.
Felt like a Twilight Zone thing or something.
Yeah, that felt nice. It felt like a good touch.
Mm-hmm.
You
Plus,
know, I think...
he took off his helmet, and I was half expecting him to be a necromorph or something. And so I was like, oh, here we go. Here's the big reveal. And he took off his helmet, and I was like, oh, He's just a bald space marine, like Samus everyone else.
Or something. Like, how progressive would it be if Isaac was a female and had a lesbian relationship with Nicole?
Or he was a female necromorph. Oh my god.
No, he was some old, rugged, like white guy, and it was kind of weird.
he was like the generic like video game space dude.
Yeah, but older and aged.
So. Yeah, which makes sense when you know you're talking about like an old miner guy. Like he definitely carries himself like someone who's seen some baggage and mileage.
Yeah, definitely. It was a nice touch, I think, at the very end. I think it's a little bit silly. I mean, I'm. My guess is it was a hallucination.
Yeah. Especially since there's Dead Space 2.
Yeah, especially because there's Dead Space 2. And he clearly wasn't eaten by his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
Maybe Dead Space is just a meditation on relationships.
Yeah, this is all just...
this is all about Isaac having to get past the fact that this chick dumped him.
And you'll zoom out and it will be like a Jason Rohrer game or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, to sum it up, I kind of feel like this was a nice, modernization of survival horror. Like if the original Resident Evil had been made today, I feel like it might have been something like this.
Yeah, I think it didn't go far enough, and I think that maybe my expectations were too high.
Go far enough in terms of what direction?
Of moving beyond that, the. Like you're saying, it's a modern retake of some of those older titles, and I think there's more baggage they could have left behind than they did. You know, being the sort of the weapon upgrade system I thought was sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ammunition issue. Maybe that's a thing of personal taste.
Well, it's definitely like a niche thing. Like, I mean, there's very few games where there were some weapons where I just backed myself into a corner and just had to be like, well, I made the wrong choices, and now I'm locked out of this upgrade progression.
Yeah.
And, like, that's a very, I mean, that's, like, a pretty outdated, not necessarily in a bad way, but, I mean, like, that's an old way of doing things.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, even the fact that they had a little training center in the game where you could have fun and sort of, like, shoot at carnival dolls, even that is sort of a nod to older titles where it made sense to have these little silly things in the game for you to practice and have fun with while you're playing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean it's very strange to run into those things, especially when you're playing something that looks state of the art.
Yeah, you know, I think if someone were to ask me if they should play Dead Space 1 before they played Dead Space 2, I haven't played Dead Space 2, but if you can get the best of Dead Space 1 in the sequel, then I would tell them not to. I don't think it's completely necessary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean from what little I've read about the second one, they seem to take what you were suggesting and run with that. Like I've heard that it moves a bit faster, that people haven't been worrying too much about ammo, that they've been playing more with the battle system rather than kind of the overarching like upgrade system. And so like it maybe, you know, if you're looking for if you were kind of bummed out that Resident Evil 4 got away from, you know, the survival horror type stuff, this might be your thing. But if you're looking for Gears of War, I think Dead Space 2 sounds a bit more like that influence.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, I think there's really good stuff there, but if it's distilled down better in Dead Space 2, then just go get the good stuff, you know?
Would you recommend it for sci-fi folks?
No, I'm going to say no. I don't think so. I don't think it succeeds atmospherically well enough. I don't know. Maybe, you know, if you're actually really into sci-fi and you're really into the sort of atmosphere and music, that kind of setting, especially the zero gravity and the oxygen, the lack of oxygen, it's really fun to experience. So, yeah, if you're really into sci-fi, go for it. Definitely. I think the story falls a little short, but yeah.
I mean, the story is very it's standard, I feel like.
Yeah, exactly. And it you know, doesn't shine the way other sci-fi stories might shine, like Mass Effect, of course, which is just, you know, an unfair comparison.
Well, yeah, I mean, that is like, you know, Mass Effect is like Star Trek and Dead Space is like, I don't know, Alien or something like that, like a very short story. Like, it's not a universe. Like, it's meant to be told like an episode or something.
Yeah, yeah. I'm interested to see what it's like once Isaac speaks. I think it'll make it a stronger sci-fi experience.
you can speak out against the unitologists and
yeah, or just tell people I don't want to go fetch your fucking perfume for you.
So are you still hooked for the second one? Are you going to eventually get around to that?
Yeah, I enjoyed the first one enough to try the second one, especially if it's an improvement. So that's probably where I'll go next.
It's weird. I feel like I'm less optimistic about the second one and you're more optimistic about it, because I feel like it might be less unique than the first one felt.
Maybe. We'll have to talk about it on the podcast.
Yeah, in 2 years when we play it. No. We'll get to it. Let's say let's make it our goal before the year 2011 is done.
Yes, done.
Okay. Well, until then, if you want to walk down space memory lane with us with your thoughts on Dead Space 1, experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
We also encourage you to leave your comments to this post, which you can find on experiencepoints.net. We update the site Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday evenings, so come on down and bring your friends.
All right, until next time, take it easy.
Bye.
Isaac, get me some pliers. Every time we disagree, there's a place to go to.